Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the December 12th meeting for the Technical Coordinating Committee for the Core MPO. Excited to have you all here. Before we go through everything, can we start with introductions over to my right? Just your name and who you're affiliated with. Thanks.
Heath Main, Savannah Airport Commission.
Nathan Clark, City of Richmond Hill.
Kayla Brown, Bike Walk Savannah.
Hello, Ambria Burksteiner, Chatham Area Transit.
Jonathan Holm, Effingham County.
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah Transportation Services.
Paul Teague, Bryan County.
Gunny Sethi, DDOT Benning.
Almost Senadi, City of Paul Winford.
Katie Proctor, GDOT District 5.
And I am Deanna Brooks with Chatham County. Awesome. So we will go ahead and get into our agenda for today. The first item is approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion?
So moved, Michelle Strickland.
Second, Kayla Brown.
Thank you. We'll start the approval to the left.
Katie, yes.
Senati, yes.
Gani Sati, yes.
Paul Teague, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Ambry Burke Center, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right, and next we have the October 17th TCC meeting minutes. Can we get a motion approved? Were there any comments?
So moved, Michelle Strickland. I second Ambry Burke Center.
All right, we'll start that one over to the left.
Peace.
Means, sorry, yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Ambria Burksteiner, yes.
Holm, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Teague, yes.
Gani Sati, yes.
Senati, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Brooks, yes. Awesome. All right. So as we are in December, we get to do election of our TCC chairperson. So I guess we will open up the floor for anyone interested.
I'll nominate Deanna Brooks from Chatham County.
I second that nomination.
All right. Is there anyone else interested?
You'll be doing a good job.
Thank you. All right. All right. Well, can we go ahead and vote then, I suppose? Or is that okay?
Means, yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Burksteiner, yes.
Holm, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Teague, yes.
Gani Sati, yes.
Senati, yes.
Proctor, yes.
All right, Brooks, yes. All right, and then next we have our TCC vice chair. So do we have any nominations for the vice chair position?
I nominate Kayla Brown for vice chairperson. Sorry.
I second the nomination. All right. Anyone else interested? All right. We will start the vote to the left. Katie.
Proctor, yes.
Senati, yes.
Ganese, yes.
Teague, yes.
Holm,
yes.
Holm, yes.
Burksteiner, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right. And it looks like we get to hold these for 2 years now. So we're kind of, we're
in field service.
All right. And then up next, we have the 2050 MTP amendments.
I would just give a very, very quick report on the 2050 MTP amendments. Remember when we were adopting the 2050 MTP, FHW was saying that you need to include additional match if you have a project. So at that time, we do have the GPA project, and we found out about additional match. And for the Volterra project, FHW actually has the information, but they didn't release that information to us. So they didn't give that until after we adopt the 2050 plan. So now we want to include that additional match for the Volterra project. So the total project cost is $26 million now. And then for the city of Savannah, the 37th Street, that is the SS4A grant. And then FHWA decided that we need to list all these discretionary grant funded projects separately in the MTP because they don't interfere with the formula funded project. And then so their inclusion will not impact other projects. So we can just do like a one step amendment because it doesn't have like domino effect. So you have to kick out other projects. So, and that's what we are doing for now. Basically just adding the revised cost estimate for the Viterra project and add the city of Savannah's safe street for all projects for 37th Street. This is, I have to say the discretionary grant program is very, very confusing because there are so many. There are more than like 127 or some discretionary programs. And then some funds come through the MPO, some funds don't come through the MPO, and some funds just go directly to the local jurisdictions. So the guidance that we got right now is like, if the funds go through FHWA or FTA, they have to be included in the MPO's plans or programs. If it's a planning study, it needs to be included in the UPWP. If it's a project, it needs to be included in the MTP and the DIP. The good thing is FHWA and hopefully FTA as well. From now on, whenever any agency in our area receives that funds, because they keep the record, they will send us that information. So we can just do one amendment and include those. Some program funds that don't come through FHWA or FTA, like the county got the railroad crossing that goes through the federal rail administration, they don't have to be included in the CORMPU's plans and programs. So I just want to make sure you understand that because it has been very, very confusing. A lot of us also got SS4A, and then previously they didn't say that we need to include SS4A, but now it's like suddenly you need to. So some of the funds are being held up as well, like the reconnecting communities, the city of Savannah is doing that. They need to sign an agreement with FHWA, and then the requirement is that you have to include it in the MPO's plans programs. So I just want to let you know, if you do receive that, and make sure it comes through us, so that we don't delay your funding access. Any questions on this?
Can we get a motion to support the amendments to the 2050 MTP?
Clark, so moved.
Strickland, second.
All right. We'll start to my left.
Proctor, yes.
Senator, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Teague, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Bergsteiner, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Thank you.
Up next, we've got FY 2024-2027 TIP amendments.
Hello. Okay. Let me open the report. So this is a pretty long TIP amendment. So I will try to go through it as quickly as possible, but I'll just start that we received several TIP amendment requests from Chatham Area Transit, FHWA, Chatham County, and GDOT. And I also have highlighted in purple additional projects that was added to the TIP amendment report, and that was added yesterday after communication with GDOT that they needed an amendment for the PE phase of a project. And I guess before we move on, is everyone okay with the addition of this project into the TIP amendment report?
Do you have the sheet in there that'll show us what project and everything?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have the details.
Yeah, we'll talk about it then, I guess, if everybody has any questions.
Okay, sounds great. All right, then I will move into the details in terms of public participation. That public comment period is currently ongoing and is ongoing from December 4th to December 18th. So far, we have not received public comment. The only comment that we did receive was from GDOT to add that additional project for the PE phase, and so we did add it into the report. So this is just a summary of all of the proposed amendments, but I'll go into the details and skip that summary since we're going to go into the details anyway. So this was requested by FHWA, and it was an amendment to the STIP and TIP amendment process. That is because that process has been updated. It's been changed, and so we're adding the language about what that process is now. And so now TIP amendment can be processed if the cost increase of a project is up to $4 million or 40% in the federal share, with a cap at $40 million at the amount that can be authorized for a TIP amendment. So previously, I believe that was $2 million or 20%. And the older language is in this staff report as well, if you would like to know that. Additionally, we received comment from FHWA to reformat the discretionary grant programs into a new table, just to add some distinction between those discretionary grant projects and our other projects, like our highway projects. And so that the reformatting of those projects, that includes the I-16 exit ramp removal, the Volterra Electrification of American Ports project, the Port of Savannah Renewable Fuel Project, and then the 37th Street Safety Improvement and Supplemental Planning Project. And then in addition to being formatted into a discretionary grant table, it's also being added into the TIP, or the amendment request is also to add it into the TIP. And so just to go into the project status, the City of Savannah was awarded $9.9 million in funding to improve safety on 37th Street. The project will consist of upgrades to 15 intersections that need systematic safety improvements, such as updated signals and timing, dedicated left turns with protected phases, sidewalks, crosswalks, and extended bike lanes. The City of Savannah will provide a $2.49 million match in funds for this project. Chatham Area Transit also submitted a TIP amendment request for the FY 2024 Savannah Bells Marine EV Charging Station. And the amendment is to amend this project into our TIP. So some details on this project: CAT received an almost $700,000 grant for the FY 2024 Electric and Low Emitting Ferry Program. The total project cost is $863,000. And CAT will provide a $172,750 match. And so here's that federal local split of that. Additionally, Chatham Area Transit requested TIP amendments for a few projects to receive carryover funds. And those carryover funds are funds that we are at risk of losing. So we're dedicating them to projects just so we do not lose those projects. So to get into the project status of this project requires additional PE funds in fiscal year 2025. It will receive carryover funds in the PE phase from unobligated TA funds that are at risk of lapsing. The total carryover funds that will be dedicated to this project is $1 million in TA funds. The federal portion is $856,000, and the local match is $214,000. Additionally, a right-of-way phase will be added to this project in fiscal year 2026 with $120,000 in local funds. And here's the cost breakdowns. Additionally, Chevis Road will receive carryover funds. So it will receive those carryover funds in fiscal year 2025. $50,000 in CRP funds will be dedicated to this project in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of this is $40,000, and the local match is $10,000. Additionally, $1.8 million in TA funds will be dedicated to the project in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $1.4 million, and the local match is $357,000. And here's that cost breakdown of that as well. Moving on to the Garrier Avenue Improvement Project. This project will receive carryover funds in the PE phase from unobligated CRP funds that are at risk of lapsing. The project will receive $1.2 million in CRP funds for the PE phase in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $972,000, and the local match is $243,000. And then for I-16 at SR-17, this project will also be getting additional funds in the PE phase. It'll receive carryover funds from unobligated STGB funds that are at risk of lapsing. For the PE phase, the project will receive $1.4 million in STGB funds in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $1.1 million, and the local match is $292,000. In the current TIP, Chatham County provides $2.7 million of additional local funds in the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 2025. Based on the revised cost estimates, the additional funds needed are $3 million. The carryover STGB funds can be used to replace the local funding. The project will receive $3 million in STGB funds in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $2.4 million, and the local match is $600,000. And then for I-95 at Savannah River, at South Carolina line, GDOT requested an amendment to increase the cost estimate for the construction phase in fiscal year 2025 and replace the funding code. The total funds being requested to be amended into the TIP is $97 million. The federal portion of that is $38.8 million in Y-001 funds. The state match is $9.7 million, and the local portion is $48.5 million. And here's that cost breakdown. And then this is that additional project that we talked about earlier that was added yesterday. This is the I-16 from Gwinnett Street to Chatham Parkway, NEVI Charging Station. So GDOT requested to add $30,000 of Y-134 funds to the PE phase in fiscal year 2025. The federal portion of that is $24,000, and the state portion is $6,000. And then just moving on into the appendix, just showing what these updates would look like in the TIP. This is that original language for the STIP TIP amendment process that has been amended. And so this is what the new language would say, which I've highlighted in the report. And this report is available on the agenda if anyone would like to look at it more closely. And then again, these are the discretionary grant funds that will be reformatted. So for the discretionary grants, they won't be in a table like this anymore. So for the ramp and overpass removal for I-16, Volterra Electric Project, Port of Savannah Project, these tables will be removed and they will be reformatted into this table, which is pretty large. So I'm just going to back out of it. So this is what that new table in the TIP would look like. And then also there will be the addition of the 37th Street project for City of Savannah within this too. And this is the Chatham Area Transit, the new table to be added to the TIP for that ferry grant. So this is what that new table would look like. And then moving into Chatham County's project. So this is that original project page. And then this is the updated project page with updated costs and language. Same for Chevis Road. Same for Girard Avenue Improvement Project. And then same for I-16 at SR-17. So those updated cost estimates and language. And then these are GDOT's projects. So this is what that new updated project page would look like. And then also for NEVI, this is what the new project page would look like. And is there any part of the report that anyone would like me to go to specifically, or are there any questions, or maybe I need to make a change, a mistake or something that's in the report? No? Okay. Well, that's the end of the meat of this report. The rest of this are just the amendments, are the appendix. Showing its consistency with the 2050 MTP, which these projects are, and then communication on those projects, and then the resolution that will be signed on the 18th. So that was a lot. But if there are no other questions, CORMPO is asking for an endorsement of this report.
I have one question, Asia.
Yeah.
This is just for information. For the I-95 at Savannah River, what, because GDOT's the requesting agency on that, what do they mean when they say local funds, I guess?
I think, which one? The, you said the I-16?
I-95. You were just on it. Yeah. I just was curious what local means for GDOT versus state. So.
I don't know. I think that one is for Effingham County. So I don't know. GDOT has to shed some light on that.
Oh. All right. That's fine. I'll investigate other ways. Yeah, I just didn't know if you
got. I'm pretty curious, I guess, as well. I mean,
yeah, because it's a lot of local money that Effingham County has to come up with. So.
Okay. Yeah, we'll, I guess, reach out to GDOT and see what they mean by that.
I'd want to ask, I'd want to have some clarification with GDOT on this. The reason that we allocate those carryover funds to the Chatham County projects is because at last TCC meeting, we sent to you the information how much the carryover funds would be available. And then we coordinated with GDOT and they say all of the funds have to be in fiscal year 2025. I know Chatham County actually has, I think, the I-16, Stewart 17, that project you actually requested right away in fiscal year 2026. But we cannot use the carryover funds in 2026. I just want to get clarification with GDOT on that. That's why we moved it to 2025.
Okay.
Yes, we received the instruction from the OFM that all the carryover funds need to be utilized in FY25.
Okay.
Because otherwise it would be lapsing.
Yeah.
And the MPO need the approval from them before to use that fund.
Yeah, after
also.
We process
so
the
TIP amendment. Being instructed from the OFM.
Okay. Yeah, so after we amend the TIP and then we will request additional funding obligations so that you can authorize the funds. But my question was, Chatham County is, are you able to authorize that funds in fiscal 2025?
Yeah, I'll have to check on that project to see if we'll be able to get it for then. We're currently in PFPR for that project, so right away authorization is our next big goal. I just have to confirm that we can hit that before June.
Yeah, if that project needs additional PE funds, we program the PE funds, it's easier to authorize PE funds.
Yes, yeah.
But right away funds authorization, we do need additional documentation before mm-hmm. we can do that.
And
so
it will take time maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, double check that. But if you move the right away to 2026, we cannot use the carryover funds.
Okay.
And another thing I want to ask GDOT about was when you send us the carryover funds, you have 2025, how much, and then how much is lapsing. Are those only the federal portion? Or was that
the total? Only the federal portion.
That's only the federal portion. Okay,
yes.
I got it. Thank you.
I'm just kind of curious, I guess. I need to touch base with my board just to make sure this is on our radar. It's the first time seeing this. So I'm just a little new to this role as well. So I'd like to get a little more clarification on the I-95 Savannah River project for that.
Okay. Yeah.
Has moved forward.
Are you Effingham County?
I am. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Holm. I'm the county engineer for Effingham.
Oh, okay. I will say that Effingham has been very aggressive, as you've seen, and I think that you need to talk to your manager because I had questions as well about the amount of local contribution, and I don't know if they really understand how much that is, but that. That is something that you should sit down with them and maybe do a breakout of what those potential costs could be just so that they can plan and put it possibly in their capital budget or in the budget.
That's correct. Yep. So appreciate that.
Yeah. But just to let you know, I think he knows that it's a lot.
Yep.
I thought I'd share that with you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Are there any other questions on the TIP amendments? Great. Can we get a motion to endorse?
So moved, Strickland.
Sanati second.
Oh, sorry. Can we start the vote to my right?
Means yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Bergsteiner, yes.
Yes, I know.
Holm, no.
Strickland, yes.
Teague, yes.
Canese, yes.
Senator, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Brooks, yes. So we will go on to the next, which is the UPWP draft.
Before I move on to the UPWP, just Jonathan and Deanna, please double check those two projects. And we need to find the final decision, make the final decision before the CompUA board meeting. We need to have all of the information ready before the CompUA board meeting so they can adopt whatever is accurate.
Sounds good. I will follow back up. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to talk about the Unified Planning Work Program. This is for the next fiscal year, starting July 1st, and then it runs until June 30th, 2026. So what are we going to do next year? So I do have some major tasks that I just want to mention that. The major planning tasks that we are going to do, one thing, we want to maintain the 2050 MTP because that's our most important document. We are still finalizing all of the chapters and appendices for the current plan, but we're going to have that done by June the 30th of next year. In the new year, we want to maintain that plan and make amendments as needed. And then another thing that is very important is we're going to adopt a new TIP because our current TIP is fiscal year 2024 to 2027. And then in 2026, at the end of fiscal year 2026, by the end of fiscal year 2026, we're going to have a new TIP. That is a fiscal year 2027 to 2030 TIP. So that will take a lot of time. So I have a lot of that. And then also the staff are doing the research on the interactive TIP or e-TIP, something. So we have interviewed several vendors. We will still try to secure a vendor by the end of fiscal year 2026. So that's why I have the budget boosted over here, because we do want to make a decision. And when we feel certain that we have something to present to the TCC, we will report to you all the information we compile, the pros and cons of all of the different vendors. And another task that we know that we're going to do is we are going to do the RFP process for three studies. Hopefully the studies will kick off by the end of this fiscal year, before June the 30th of 2025. But in 2026, we will that will be under intensive development. So management and coordinating of those three special studies, and we're going to talk about that USAD corridor and bike path facility study and urban flooding model phase two. And also, we probably will coordinate with the city on the reconnecting community that grant funded study, and with CAT to finish their ARP and AOPP funded studies. So that's a major task. And also, many of you know that we went through the federal certification review, and we are going to have the final report to us by the end of March. And so a lot of the time in fiscal year 2026 will be dedicated to addressing all those recommendations. That's including all of the programs. And another thing that we want to do, the performance-based planning and the programming, is because we are going to just monitor the IJA and IJA, and we are going to apply for the PROTECT grant at the end of this fiscal year. Actually, Anna's working on it. So if we get that funds, and we will start RP process and develop the resilience improvement plan. So that is documented. So those would be the major planning tasks that we are going to do. And also under land use, because Chatham County and MPC is going to update the comprehensive plan for at least unincorporated Chatham County and the city of Savannah. And since we already collected a lot of information in the 2050 MTP, so the CompUA staff will work with the MPC staff on updating the comprehensive plan as well. So that is documented in this UPWP. And those would be the tasks that's included in all of these subtasks. And you can, I can show you the budget. Actually, we just got the budget from I just want to show you the.
Trying to move this.
Yeah, I just want to move it. Okay, thank you. I'll just show how much we will have. GDOT actually just sent us the revised PL funds or the PL funds projection for fiscal year 2026 last week. So the total that we got, the federal portion is about $482,000. And then the Y410, which Asia will use to, because we're going to finish the non-motorized transportation plan. We're going to amend non-motorized transportation plan this year. So next year, should we use this to update the thoroughfare plan and also just to oversee the bicycle and pedestrian train facility study to see what amendments we would need to make for the non-motorized transportation plan. So that's about $12,000. And then the transit money that we are going to get, the federal portion is about $202,000. And we're going to use that to do administration long-range plan, short-range planning. Part of the short-range planning probably will be oversee the bicycle and pedestrian planning as well, study as well. So this is the budget. And also during the certification review, FHWA wants us to include some like subtask budget. So what we did is for task four and five, task four is system planning. So that includes long range plan, TIP, congestion management process, freight planning, and management, non-motorized transportation plan and management of the special studies. So besides this big budget over here, I did include some like subtask planning, for the metropolitan planning, metropolitan transportation plan, because what we are going to just maintenance and update. So you don't need that much money. But we know a lot of the efforts will be spent on TIP, because for TIP development, we'll probably do call for projects, a review and programming. So, and the development of the document and also still doing the research for the ETIP. So that's why you see a big budget over here. For the congestion management, we do want to update the congestion management report. Basically, evaluate the recommended congestion mitigation strategies and where we are on that, have a status on that. And the freight planning, we don't have to do a new freight plan yet, but we want to keep monitoring that and also to see whether we still need to do the truck parking study. And livability and transportation alternatives, that is for the thoroughfare plan update. And then you see I have actually added about $85,000 for management of special studies, because three studies will be included over here. So that's for the highway portion. And for the transit planning, we also did add a subtask. So you can see the subtask funding for all of this. The last thing that I want to mention is, before we apply for any discretionary PL funds or any other funds, we want to make sure that we have at least two rounds of discussions by the TCC, so we satisfy the requirements. So by the time we submit the funding applications, we don't have to like rush. So I just want to use this opportunity to serve as the first round of discussion. So for the special studies, we expect to have the three studies that is currently going on to be completed by the end of fiscal year 2025, the US 17 corridor study and STIR 204 access study and the President Street Railroad. So those will be done by June 30th of 2025. And then we know in 2026, we're going to do at least four studies, the IMR, because GDOT is leading on that. So we think it will probably carry over to 2025. Will probably be done in 2026. And then for the other three studies, since we're going to kick off at the end of fiscal 2025, and they will carry over to fiscal 2026. But for the unfunded studies that we might apply for discretionary funds, we included the ones that is carried over from fiscal year 2025 UPWP that we haven't applied for funding yet. But we evaluated that regional truck parking study is still very important. And when we had the certification review, FHWA was saying that if you apply for this, we're going to give you the funds. So we might do this study, apply for the funding for this. And then another one is resilience improvement plan. We will apply for the discretionary protect money But if you don't get that, we want to explore other options as well. So we might submit one for discretionary PO funds. And then when we did the call for plans and studies, Chatham County actually sent three. One of them is already included in the 2025 UPWP, and it will be moved over to 2026. That is Islands Expressway between Truman Parkway and US 80. And another one is Ferguson Avenue from Diamond Causeway to Skidery Road. And then the last one is La Roche Avenue from Jasmine Avenue to Bluff Drive. So I do have the details about these listed in the funded section. And then we also have like transit oriented development study and transit bus stop amenity study, mobility hub study, and program bus rapid transit feasibility study. I just want to confirm with Kat, you still want this to be listed, right? So just in case we need to apply for some funds. So
yes, but I will double check with Mary for you, but I believe the answer is yes.
Okay. Yeah. If we want to apply for not only the discretionary PR funds, but the discretionary funds from directly from under IHA or something, if we already have this included in the UPWP, will help us make our case. So I just want to mention that. Now you still have the opportunity to add what you want to add to the UPWP. Before adopted in February, because in February that will serve our second round and we can officially include these studies. I know City of Savannah wants to do a micro simulation or something, but we haven't received any information. If you want us to include it in the UPWP, you need to send us the information. I know I talked with Richmond Hill. They also want to do like sterile 144 corridor study or something, but I haven't received the information. If you do want to include that information in the UPWP, you need to send me the information. So just want to mention that. For this meeting, we would just, because we're going to submit this to FHW, FT, and GDOT for, this is preliminary draft for their review. So we will ask the TCC to just endorse us to deliver the product to the three agencies. But with the condition that if you have, you do have something that please send that to me before next Wednesday.
I'll make a recommendation to endorse it.
Okay.
All right. Any questions? Can we get a second?
City Mayor Strickland.
All right. We'll start the approval endorsement to the left. Katie.
Proctor, yes.
Senator, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Teague, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Bergsteiner, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks.
Thank you.
And then up next, we've got the PBPP targets.
PBPP targets adoption. We have to follow the performance-based planning and programming process. As part of that process, and we are adopting the performance targets, and the highway performance targets are updated every year by GDOT. And the transit safety targets are adopted by the CAT every year. And then we also have PM2, a bridge and pavement, and bridge 3, congestion management and air quality. Those are adopted every 2 years, every 4 years. So we normally have about 180 days of the different agencies adopt their targets to adopt ours. And we have in the past decided to support the state targets for the highway safety targets, and the GDOT actually sent us these targets in August, and this is what they adopted on August the 30th, 2024. So number of fatalities, the number of serious injuries and fatality rate and serious injury rate, and total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. We did get a question from, I think it's a BPAC, and they want us to compile a table to show what is the previous year's targets. And what is new targets, so we can have a trend. So we're going to do that. But this is just the new targets. For number of fatalities, this is a rolling, 5-year rolling average. So it's 1,600. Number of serious injuries, 7,109. And fatal fatality, 1.25. And then serious injury rate is 5.711. And then the last one, the total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries is 797. Just want to make sure that understand these are the statewide average. And then we do have the opportunity when we finish the facility, bicycle pedestrian facility study, and then when we update our non-motorized transportation plan, we do want to explore localized targets for the bicycle and pedestrian, these fatalities. Cause the statewide might be like lower for us. We might, because we have more pedestrians over here. So we might revise these targets later. So for this year, we were just we did coordinate with CAT. They updated their public transportation safety plan, but they didn't update their transit safety targets. So we don't have to adopt the new targets because the targets stay the same. So we just want to, for this meeting, we just want you to endorse us to support the statewide targets for the highway safety.
All right. Any questions on those targets? Great. Can we get an endorsement or, yeah, motion to support, endorse?
Bergsteiner, I make a motion.
Brown, second.
We'll start the vote to the right.
Means, yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Bergsteiner, yes.
Holm, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Teague, yes.
Thanese, yes.
Senata, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Thank you.
Up next, RFP for US 80 phase two.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this US 80 corridor study. As you remember, we got the discretionary funds award for three studies, and one of those is the US 80 corridor study. And this study was requested by Effingham County. So, basically core MPO applied for the funds on behalf of Effingham County. And we will have probably two project managers for this study, probably myself and Jonathan. And we did have, at the last TCC meeting, we did ask for volunteers to serve on the RFP review committee. And also when we received the proposals and review the proposals from consultants. So that's include myself, Jonathan, Kayla, and then Leon on behalf of Pooler. Because Leon managed the phase one study, so he agreed to. And then I think Jonathan said that they will have another person to serve on behalf of Effingham County. So we have a five people committee for this. And we did have a meeting and to talk about the scopes. So as you can see, made some changes. I was just to focus on the scope portion of it. So we made some scope changes. So phase one study, basically it's just a corridor study and then you have the existing conditions and you develop, infrastructure recommendations, short term, midterm and long term, and then have a final report. But the phase one study covers about 12 miles and it has a lot of intersections, a lot of interchanges, and the cost of that was $285,000. Phase two study, we have 6.5 miles, and then the proposed cost is $270,000, so $15,000 less. And then we decided the original scope was a little bit skimpy. If you spend $285,000 for 12 miles, and you do the same thing for 6.5 miles and 275, so we decided we need to boost it up a little bit more. So, we actually listed all of the previous work that has been done. So the consultant will review this, because there are several studies that have already been done, including US 80 corridor study. So they would do an inventory. And the study goes, what we want to have is probably at the land use portion of it, because the Hyundai, we have a lot of impacts, probably more impacts to Effingham County and Bryan County. So we actually want the, to have some kind of a development scenario. This is actually, we actually, for the traffic forecasting, we want at least two forecasts to be run based on potential development scenarios. So where you have a new development and industrial development, the warehousing, all of that. So we want to have at least run two models for the traffic forecasting. And we also, I think Effingham County indicated that they already made some kind of land use changes. So we want one of the tasks was to confirm those, just to make sure that you confirm those land use changes that has been made. So we will just have those. And then even if this is a more rural corridor, it doesn't have as many intersections, we still want them to do some equity analysis, because for those, especially for the rural areas, if people want to use have sidewalks so that will sidewalks or bike lanes, that will impact the lower income people more. So we do want them to do some equity analysis and also including the connection to the high-low trail. So this is based on the meeting that we have over there. And also the recommendations, we have recommendations for both infrastructure, like short-term, mid-term, long-term alternatives. And then also we want to have some kind of a land use recommendations as well, just in light of the anticipated growth from Hyundai and the Georgia Ports Authority. So that's the recommendations. And then for the final report, we want to have if they have the infrastructure recommendations, we might probably amend our vision plan, include that into the 2050 MTP vision plan. But also, what about the land use recommendations? We need to make sure that you report that to Effingham County so that they can make the land use changes. So as well as land use ordinances. And then the last portion that I did add was phase one study. I did coordinate with Leon, because of the cost they have a bunch of recommendations, but without cost estimates for those recommendations, I just don't think it's, because if we want to amend those recommendations into the vision plan or 2050 MTP plan, we don't have the cost. So we decided, okay, for phase two, definitely whatever recommendations you have, give us the cost. And if we do have the budget, we actually want them to go back, or the consultant just to go back and to look at the recommendation from phase one and give us the cost estimates for the phase one as well. So, but this, I added this as an optional task because we don't know whether how much money that will be needed. But if the consultant is willing to just use the current budget and give us that result, we'll just give them more scores, I think. So, but I just want to make sure that I added this. And the total cost for this one is $270,000, as I have mentioned. I did develop a schedule to release the RP. I'm going to, of all for three studies, this one is mostly ready to go. So I think probably after the Cornfield Board input next Wednesday, should be able to release the RP next Friday, but because of normally we give the consultants about 1 month to reply, but because of the holiday, so we actually have 5 weeks, so that's why you see the deadline is January the 24th. So this is basically the schedule for this RFP. Any questions on this?
All right, I guess it looks good. Can we get a motion to endorse the RFP?
Yeah, endorse the release of the RFP.
I'll make a motion to endorse the RFP.
Second, Strickland.
All right, start the approval to the left.
Proctor, yes.
Senator, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Teague, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Bergsteiner, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Means, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right, up next, the RFP for the urban flood model.
Hey everyone, good afternoon. Anne McClory, core MPO staff. So we are on phase two of our urban flood model, put together a review team that was geographically and technically diverse, consisting of planners, transportation of planners, stormwater engineers, and ranging from Effingham County, Tybee Island, Chatham County and City of Savannah. So we had quite a few eyes on this RFP and a lot of great technical advice moving forward. Let's see. So just as a little bit of background for everyone, phase one was completed at the end of 2023, and we had that in our old boundary, so not the new portion. It did not include the new portions of Effingham and Bryan County, but they created a stormwater management model, hydrographs. They created an online vulnerability assessment application and compiled funding opportunities for Core MPO to try to have more nature-based solutions for these different types of projects. So really with this, what we'd like to do is expand this work into our new boundary, and we have a couple different tasks, so I'll go over those. First, project management and coordination. We would like a project management plan with schedule and to have an outreach and coordination plan within that. So making sure that input is going to be put into these final products. It's going to be really essential to make sure that we have user-friendly applications. We'd like to do an inventory of available stormwater data and models. So talking to our RFP review team, the SWIM, or stormwater management model, is free from the EPA. Our consultants chose to use this because it would be free to all jurisdictions within the MPO, but our stormwater engineer said, actually, you know, we use different models for our different jurisdictions, so it might be more useful instead of expanding the SWIM out is to take an inventory of what stormwater data do we have throughout the MPO, because it could range from what Effingham County has versus what City of Savannah has, what Tybee Island has. So having this inventory will be helpful in with our jurisdictions thinking about, okay, how can they expand their data or make it more consistent if we have these transportation projects that expand jurisdictional boundaries? We'd also like them to establish different flood resilience metrics. So this can be based on the 2050 MTP, stakeholder interviews, data inventory, phase one materials. And so these indicators can assess the long-term effectiveness and environmental impact of proposed flood mitigation strategies, and these metrics can guide the next tasks. And so that deliverable will hopefully be a technical report. And then task three, our review team decided that it would be great to focus on the online vulnerability assessment application that we already have. However, we'd like to make it more user-friendly. So we want to review the GIS data that was used in phase one. How can we expand this out to our new portions of the MPO? We want to identify roads and areas with past flooding experience. So our review team noted that they want to know where are the most vulnerable areas, where can they spend money in their capital improvement projects budget. And we'd like to incorporate projected build-out scenarios. And again, super important, make it user-friendly. And we want this data to be collected and stored in an open access format so we can help facilitate transparency and collaboration throughout the MPO. All right. Task four, we'd like to do an infrastructure strategies and cost, so a guidebook, essentially with a focus on nature-based solutions to help demonstrate possible capital improvement projects that includes a description, cost estimate, benefits, challenges. So this guide will ideally include a comparative analysis of different nature-based solutions, urban design strategies that enhance flood resilience, and then case studies of successful flood resilience projects as well. Task five will be a training program. So how do we use all these things that we've created? You know, again, we've been focusing on collecting this data, making, facilitating collaboration, increasing transparency. How do we work together? And then how do we use it as well? So that deliverable being a technical summary with the course outline and overview, and then the curriculum being hopefully videos, accessible online material so that planners, transportation engineers, stormwater managers, and then also our public can view these materials and think about how can they use this in their own work. And finally, to summarize the study findings and then provide recommendations as well. So our estimated schedule is to release the RFP at the beginning of January. So we're on a very similar timeline, just accounting for the holidays at the end of the month. And then one decision was to keep the eligibility to academic institutions. However, being able to have non-academic entities eligible as sub-consultants. And so that is most of what this RFP covers. There are more details in there. But do you have any questions?
All right. Looks like we don't have any questions. Can we get a motion to endorse this RFP for release?
Say not to make a motion to endorse this RFP.
Gunny, second.
All right. Start to the right.
Means yes.
Clark, yes.
Brown, yes.
Berksteiner, yes.
Holm, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Teague, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Senati, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Brooks, yes. All right, and then we have the RFP for the bicycle and pedestrian facility study.
Okay, I will open that report. So I'm opening the draft RFP for the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. And I'll just read the general scope, which is that the study will take inventory of existing bike and pedestrian infrastructure, assess the conditions of those bike and pedestrian facilities, analyze the gaps in the bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure system, and involve the creation of a database or map to provide continual updates after the study is completed. So that's just the general scope. The actual scope is more detailed than that, but I will move past that scope and go straight into the task section just to go into more details of what this facility study will provide once completed. And so within this RFP, there are multiple tasks. So the first one is the creation of a project management and coordination. So what that means is just managing the overall project and coordinating with the core MPO and then other committees such as the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee and then our Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee, just to name a couple of who the consultant will coordinate with during the duration of this study. Task two is to conduct public involvement and outreach. Task three is to provide a literature review and data inventory of bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and that's because there is some existing data out there of bicycle and pedestrian inventory. And so instead of trying to start from scratch, there might be some information out there that can be included within the study. Task four is to update the bicycle and pedestrian facilities inventory information. So whatever doesn't exist in that previous literature review, whatever we couldn't find, then the consultants can update it with new information. And so they'll use a variety of data sources, methods, or technologies to examine our bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and then maybe even field examine bicycle and pedestrian facilities just to understand where our bike lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks exist. So task five is an assessment of the bicycle and pedestrian facilities and their condition. So we want to understand their state of repair or the type of facility, or if they what their width is, and then also other aspects such as ADA compliance or lighting, for example. And then based on comment, we added more subtasks such as assessing boardwalks, and that's because places like Tybee Island has them. Assessing shared use paths and multi-use paths, and assessing off-road paths as well. So task six is facility connectivity assessment, and that's assessing the current connectivity of our bicycle and pedestrian system. So we want to see where things are connecting, and we also want to see where those gaps exist too, because when we know where those exist, we can fill in those gaps. Task seven is a safety analysis, so utilizing Numetric and other crash data sources to identify those high crash networks for pedestrians and cyclists. Task eight is a prioritization method and matrix. And so this is for the development of a prioritization method so we can actually rank bike and pedestrian projects. So we want to understand which projects should we be implementing first or which projects are really vital to implement within the region. So task nine is recommendations, identification of improvements, strategies, and solutions. So based on everything we learned from the study, we also want a report on what we should do next. So what are those next steps that we should be taking to improve our bicycle and pedestrian facilities and infrastructure? Task 10 is future tracking database method or application. And so that is another really important piece because after we collect all of that inventory data, it is at risk of just sitting and getting old and becoming out of date and inaccurate. So we want to have some type of database so that we can go in and make continual updates after this project is completed. And then task 7 is the final report and documentation, which is just compiling all of these findings and all of the work that has been done during the duration of the study. And then I also added an optional task 1, which is explore right-of-way impacts. And that's because during this process and doing research for what we should include in this RFP, Core MPO staff went through a lot of meetings with different organizations and municipalities that have done their own facility studies, and that included San Antonio, who did their own bike and pedestrian study. And they said if they could go back in time and start over, they would have explored right-of-way impacts at the very beginning. And so we added that in there as well. So moving on to schedule. So within the RFP, I have a later start time than some of the other projects that we have going on in Core MPO. And that's just to make sure that this RFP is right and it's of good quality and that it's understandable before we release it and have people review it and see if they can take it on. And so within this framework, the request for proposals will be announced on January 20th, and then the project will officially start on April 18th and then in March 31st, 2027. So I did discuss this with the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee and then our Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. They were both more in favor of a later start just in terms of making sure the RFP is right. But I am still seeking input on alternative schedules because we can release it January 20th. However, we do lose about 2 weeks in the study. So we could release it earlier, so January 2nd release date, and then the project can start on April 1st instead of April 18th. Now, the risk for that is that we have a lot of holidays going on, and depending on comments we get here or at Core MPO Board, we might have a lot more work to do on this RFP. And so that's why Core MPO staff and our advisory committees were leaning more toward starting releasing it on January 20th. But I do want to get the TCC's opinion on that in terms of releasing it earlier in January or later in January. So are there any comments on that? Let me move back down to that schedule.
And got a question, not on the schedule, but on the scope. I saw that, I guess there's the Savannah GIS Ages update. I'm just curious, I guess, if there would be any coordination with any of the other municipalities' GIS systems as well.
So, yes, we can add that to the RFP. It's to coordinate with other GIS.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to make sure it gets updated, I guess, with all the other municipalities as well. I know Effingham, we're wrapping up our master bike pedestrian plan this month. So, I mean, this sounds great to, kind of look at the bigger picture.
I would say that the SAGES system's already kind of integrated with the other jurisdictions within Chatham County, but it's not necessarily with like Brian in Effingham. So you sharing that information with us and vice versa would be awesome. We would definitely welcome that for sure. And we will also send you an invite just so that you can participate in the SAGES meeting so that you can see what that's like.
Yeah, that'd be great.
With our partners.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Are there any questions or comments on the schedule or any other part of the RFP too? Okay, well, Core MPO is asking for an endorsement for the release of this RFP. Unless there are questions or comments.
No, I don't think we have any questions or comments. Can we get a motion for the release of the RFP?
I'll make a motion to approve the RFP.
Senator, the second.
All right, we'll start approval to the left.
Proctor, yes.
Senator, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Teague, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brown, yes.
Clark, yes.
Mains, yes.
Wilson, yes, and the release date for January the 20th, 2025. Just wanted to be real clear on that date.
Yes. Brooks, yes.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any, I guess we'll go on to status reports. All right, we've got the 2050 MTP.
Hi everyone, Anna McCory again. So for our 2050 MTP, we've been working on putting together a visual executive summary. So as you know, the MTP is a very long document, hundreds of pages. And so we want to make it an accessible version for people. So put together a draft. It's about 60 pages. And it is going to go into, you know, what is the core MPO? What are some characteristics of it? What are our goals and performance measures for the 2050 MTP? It's going to outline our network, go over our public involvement for this process, talk about our projects, and then the project impact. So we have all these sections here. I've already received some comments on this, but can just see the beginning. It's much more visual. It's supposed to be a little bit larger text and larger maps so that our different committees and also our public can try to engage with the MPO a little bit better. So if you'd like to look this over on your own time, feel free to email me any comments that you have, anything that you think could make it a little bit better. I'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Anna. Does anybody have any questions or comments now on the MTP executive summary? All right. Thanks. Up next, we've got the non-motorized transportation plan status report.
Okay. Let me open the report. Here we go. So this will just be a discussion of where we left off with the non-motorized transportation plan and then how to finish this project out. So just a little background on the non-motorized transportation plan. It is our bike and pedestrian plan, and it concerns bike and pedestrian infrastructure within the core MPO planning area. So the goal of this plan update is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So what have we done with this project? So this project originally kicked off in 2022, and during that time we collected a lot of data. So we have crash data from New Metric, bike and pedestrian volume data from Strava Metro. Census data that gives us some good demographic data and household data, such as how many vehicles are available within people's households. U.S. Department of Transportation equity data, which has been really great, and then environmental justice data. So, for example, during this this process, the environmental justice maps were updated, and so now we can utilize those within the non-motorized transportation plan. Additionally, we also identified a lot of projects. So in the current non-motorized transportation plan, there are hundreds of projects. And then during this update, we identified almost 100 more to add into the plan. So there are a ton of projects. And then we also identified information sources that help us guide the conversation. So AARP, they have great livability information and documents. And the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration have great information on equity, and then also proven safety countermeasures on, you know, how to reduce safety hazards when you are biking and walking. So we have all of this compiled so far for the non-motorized transportation plan, but we still have work to do to complete it. And so in terms of completion, we need to finalize the scoring methodology of projects and then actually score those projects. We also need to build our recommendations section and next steps. So what do we actually do with this plan? What do we actually do with these projects? We also need to add language on the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee and then also that facility study that we talked about, because when this project began, these didn't exist yet. So now they do, and we will be adding that to the plan, and then we will finalize the report. And then the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee will be heavily involved in that process as well.
So the target adoption date for this at the latest is June 2025. And so the next steps for that after that adoption by hopefully June 2025 at the latest is to then complete the thoroughfare plan. And that will be one of the new focuses of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And then also way in the future, when the bicycle and pedestrian facility study has been completed, we could then put the findings of that study into the non-motorized transportation plan and then some of our other MPO planning products. And then this was a slide mostly focused on the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. During that committee, we decided that we are going to restart those steering committee meetings and have those in addition to our Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee meetings just to oversee this project and finish it out. But are there any questions or comments on that?
I've got two. What's the thoroughfare plan?
The thoroughfare plan is slightly different than the non-motorized transportation plan. It's more so about the design of our bike lanes and sidewalks. So what width is appropriate, what's appropriate for different street speeds. So like 35 miles per hour versus 25 miles per hour, those types of things. So that's the next step in terms of updates.
Gotcha. And then with the steering committee, that existed before we expanded our boundaries, didn't it? Or do we have representation from the new folks in the steering committee?
So I believe that started, the steering committee was put together before the boundary was officially complete.
Okay.
So I guess another next step is to open the floor to have more participation from even more people in the expanded planning area. Yeah. But we do have pretty good expansive participation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they're part of the BPAC and everything now, but I just wanted to make sure everyone had an opportunity to provide an input for the non-motorized plan.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you so much, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, update on the federal certification review.
Before I keep the presentation, can I ask a question? Do we have like Effingham County, Chatham County, City of Savannah? Do we have a database of all the roadways, like who maintains the roadways, who owns the roadways? Do we have the database on that?
We each have like a list of roadways, which I guess is the most governing official document. Do you have something better, Michelle?
So our rights of way are, there's a layer in SAGIS that shows what the roadway is, whether it's a city street or a state route.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Private. I'm assuming, yeah, surely y'all's are listed in SAGIS too, right?
Effingham County, we have a list of what, you know, is a county road, state versus private.
Okay, yeah, we want to start to collect that kind of information just to help help the staff start to evaluate the bicycle pedestrian facility needs. So we want to see like which roadways, the ownership and maintenance record. So if we can coordinate with you and get that information after this meeting. So that will help us. Does Bryan County, Richmond Hill have that information?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, great. So we'll coordinate with you on that. Fort Wentworth, you all have that?
Yes, but we will have a list of all the roads that we own, private or state highway. I can forward that to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, we will coordinate with you on that. And also you said the Effingham County is finishing the bicycle pedestrians plan. Can we come collect that information as well?
Yeah, as soon as we get the final draft, we'll forward it to you.
Okay. We would need the GIS data, I think, because we're working with CAD to get the bus stop inventory data. So we want to start to compile all that information. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I will talk about the federal certification review. As you remember, actually many of you participated in the process because you came to this very meeting room and meet with the Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and talked about the MPO's planning process. And I think we addressed, I would say that we passed with flying colors, but we would definitely, we're not going to have any corrective action probably, but we will have some recommendations. They are going to, FHWA, they're going to send us the draft report, a draft certification report at the end of January. And then we will review that and have some comments on that and we finalize the report and give us the final report at the end of March. And then they will give a recommendation at the April meeting. And after that, we will start to address all of the recommendations. Like they want us to develop like specific performance measures for like freight, for congestion management. So we will start to address those. So basically we're pretty much done for this round. Pretty happy about that. And then the next thing that I want to talk about is, remember at last meeting, we talked about submitting the functional classification upgrades. And then this is the, to follow up on that, GDOT approved all of our requests and then forwarded to Federal Highway Administration, and then they approved all of our requests. So Benton Boulevard now is a minor arterial. Highlands Boulevard is now major collector. Roland Avenue, Shell Road, and Sunset Boulevard are all minor collectors. Palmetto Drive is a major collector. Harris Trail Road and minor arterial. Port Royal Road, now major collector. So all of these roadways are from now on eligible for federal dollars. So next time when we do call for projects, you can submit projects if it's like operational improvements kind of things. So I just want to report to you on that. And then also want to let you know, this is actually a very, very good process. So next time if City Savannah wants to make some improvements on Benton Boulevard, we might want to like join force with Port Universe and then Pooler. So just have it. That's why this coordination is very, very important. I remember several years ago when City of Savannah sent GDOT the request to upclassify Benton Boulevard, didn't go anywhere. But if you are a part of the MPO process, yes, we make a difference. So just want to let you know about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Akota. All right, up next, we have our information report, starting with GDOT.
Okay, for our pre-construction, the first one's 19-219. It's a bridge maintenance project. It's over the Talmadge Bridge. And the next milestone is steel design and analysis. 15-151. As a safety improvements project, and the next milestone is FFPR. 15675 is I-16. It's safety improvements, and we're still on hold with the let date. 15704 and 15705 are twin projects. The next milestone is PFPR. 17414. Next milestone is PFPR. There's been a change in the schedule, and we anticipate the PFPR request in February. 17415 is Lazaretto Creek Bridge replacement. Next milestone is PFPR. 18023 is Hodgeville, State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road roundabout, and the next milestone is PFPR also. For active construction, there's been a little bit of change since I sent this in, a couple of updates at the beginning. So 12757, the percent complete is now 82%, and 13727, the DDI project is now 99% complete. 13741 and 42 are at 77% now. And the rest are the same.
All right, anything else?
I have a lot of people asking why it takes so long for the Islands Expressway project. Since it was led in 2017, this is 7 years later. What happened to that project?
Is that what you're meeting on?
Yeah. I've got to do some inquiry on that. We've got Chatham County's also got a request from the residents on that one. So when I get some additional information, I'll forward that to you as well. By code, I'm going to try to get a conversation with the project owner, the project manager of that one.
Okay. Okay. And then another project that cause I have some friends who participated in the bridge run last Saturday, and they were asking me, whether they can still do a bridge run next year because we have this big project over here. Is it going to be under construction by that time? Number one.
Next November, next December.
So this one, the schedule was kind of pending upper management, and so we're still kind of on hold to get a.
So we don't know when it will start construction.
So not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Up next, Chatham County. So, just some updates for I-16 at Jimmy Dulwich Parkway. We are currently doing our PFPR. So we are at the next milestone for that one. All of our other projects are moving along. The only other updates I have is for local projects, we're anticipating Quaco Road widening project to go to construction in Q1 of 2025, as well as the US 80 sidewalk project. So, any questions on any of the Chatham County projects? All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. City of Savannah.
So I'm just going to hit the highlights of a very long and detailed update. Excuse me. Project Duran City and Kinley Horn are working on the FHWA feedback and getting that incorporated into the PIP. DeLesseps Avenue construction is at 55%. Paving from Waters to Cuba is complete with the exception of the Truman Parkway intersections. Although we do anticipate having the portion from Waters to Costa Rica open before Christmas. Truman Trail Phase 2B construction is ongoing. Clearing along Reuben Clark is complete. Trail grading and stormwater infrastructure installation has begun. And the Tide to Town Middle Ground Road segment, the initial project design meeting is scheduled for December 16th with city staff Kimley Horn and GDOT.
Thank
you.
Questions for Savannah?
No.
All right. Savannah Hilton Head Airport.
Yeah, the update for the security checkpoint expansion. We opened the checkpoint expansion to the public in October, so that is travelers are now utilizing the new security lanes. The contractor's working on building out the lower level of the checkpoint. It's basically just office space. There's some long lead items that are pushing the completion time to March. Our fuel storage facility, we received the fuel tanks this morning and they're currently being installed and we're looking at April timeframe for completion. The auxiliary parking, we opened up the larger lot, which is about 650 spots right before Thanksgiving. And we still had a surplus of around 900 vehicles, with that in place. So we have a smaller lot that's being, constructed in conjunction with this that will be open for Christmas that adds about 350 spots. So we're still tracking maybe a surplus of 600 some vehicles. And then I think the last one on here is the air cargo facility. We're just doing ground improvements, for that project right now. And then two that I don't have on here, we just started, demo of our apron for the, terminal expansion project. We're adding four new gates. And the, last one would be that I don't have on here. Yeah, I can't think of it right now, but. If there's any questions on any of these, or Taxiway G. So Taxiway G and bridge across Gulfstream Road is slated to start in early January.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Heath. All right. Chatham Area Transit.
Hi. So no major updates except for the TIP amendments that you heard about in detail today. So if anyone has any questions, please let me know and I will forward the answers to you.
Thank you. And then the SCDOT status report is uploaded.
Yeah, it's attached. Madam Chairman, I think for the BPAC and TPAC, we actually listed all of those voting members agency when it gives the agency reports. Do you want us to like list Effingham County, Brown County, Richmond Hill, as like what one was?
No, I was going to ask that, or do we just want to, do they also get the email to submit their informational reports, just making sure that they get that request so they can add them?
Yeah, yeah. If we can submit that ahead of us, and we can just attach that, but so far they haven't sent us the, but if you want to give a verbal report,
yeah,
we,
sure.
we can add that to the agenda as well, so that you can just go around.
Okay, yeah. Does anyone have anything today? Any other jurisdictions?
Nothing to note this time around, but we'll make sure we submit something next time.
Okay.
We will send something next time. When I see the email, it was kind of the day of the deadline, so I didn't get the chance to put it all together, but I will send something next time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Anything on the notices?
Okay. The UPWP administrative modifications, basically we got the discretionary funds, so we have to amend the UPWP to make sure they are moved from the unfunded study to the funded study section. But I do want to, we know that we're going to apply for the Protect the Grant. The deadline is February. But I do want to mention this Georgia Transportation Infrastructure Bank. We did participate in one of those webinars they hosted. So these are some of the funds that are available to our municipalities. But I think one of these is probably just it's not a grant program. It's like loan program. But it's eligible to everybody. And also another thing is the Cornpeel manages the transportation alternatives funds. The state also manages the transportation alternative funds. And this time they were telling us like, municipalities like, Tybee Island, even if it's within the Cornpeel boundary, but it's outside the Savannah urbanized area. So the Tybee is actually eligible for the state managed the TA funds as well. So it's like under 500, under 5,000 people. So I think in our areas, like, not Rincon, what is that? Guyton. Yeah. Guyton, and Springfield should be eligible as well. So just want to let you know that, but the information is included over here.
Hi everyone. Just a special note about the Protect grant. So, the Core MPO is planning to apply for a planning grant for a resiliency improvement plan. I know we've been talking about resilience a lot of different studies. So while working on this grant application, if you would like to be a part of it or have any ideas, you can contact me. I'm happy to pull you into that process. Trying to make a more holistic a resilience plan for our region. But just so you're aware, there are also like resilience implementation grants, evacuation grants. So there are all kinds of different things that you can apply for. So even though we're doing the resilience improvement plan, which hopefully if we have this, it will reduce your match, your local match required if we do have a RIP, if you apply in the future. So you can apply for those other more implementation evacuation grants. And then I am plugged into our resilience community here. And through the RFP process for our urban flood model, I have been able to contact different key players from different municipalities. But if you have someone in mind who you would like to be part of this process, I'm happy to connect. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. All right. Does anyone have anything else? All right. We thank you all for joining us today, and we will adjourn until February 20th, 2025. So have a happy holidays, everybody.
You too. Thank you.